Just when you thought the vixen couldn't make white people more nervous, Tyra Sanchez ups the ante with the threat of nuclear annihilation at this year's RuPaul's Drag Con. With a caveat, don't say I didn't warn you.
As if it couldn't go more off the rails, drag queen Robbie Turner's dead Uber driver still hasn't turned up yet. Maybe she's pulling a Dorian Corey and has him somewhere stuffed in the trunk.
Today, Chicago drag queen and future filthiest person alive, Say KV, joins us to take a look at the complexities of drag with Vixen and Tyra Sanchez and why we might want to show Robbie Turner and all of them compassion.
Plus, is bisexual pink and violet blue lighting a real thing on TV and film?
Are we going to see more than just a bromance between Captain America and Bucky in the new Infinity War film?
And why Shania Twain and Trump supporters think the president is honest despite the overwhelming evidence.
I'm Fausta Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Brrr. Kevy?
That's me.
Say Kevy.
Kevy, can you hear me?
What?
Kevy, can you hear me now?
Are your headphones working? Are they
yeah.
On? Okay. Kevy, on Facebook, Samantha Echo asked her followers, why do you do drag/burlesque? And I really liked your answer. What did you say?
I said, I need drag to survive.
Aww.
It's a life and death situation for you.
Very much so. I feel like drag has taken over really every aspect of who I am. And without it, I don't know who I would be anymore.
I'm so sorry that's happened.
You've fallen into the drag cult.
Yes, very much so.
We might be able to rescue from it, but maybe we don't want to rescue you from it.
Exactly.
You're ready to drink the Kool-Aid. You're like, do you want a second batch?
Yes.
All for the beautiful lipstick. Mm-hmm. Oh, Kevy, the makeup.
Oh. That used to be a thing on our show 10 years ago.
Yeah.
We
had a friend and she had a gentleman caller come over and she was putting on the makeup in the mirror. He's just like, oh, the makeup. And so she would draw it out longer and just, he'd be just like, oh, the makeup.
And yeah. So do you feel like with it's specific with drag and not necessarily performing for you, the life and death aspect of it?
Well, I mean, performing is very much a large part of it, mm-hmm. but also even when I'm not performing, my academic and career pursuits are towards this drag museum idea.
Mm.
So even
you kind of want to do the Smithsonian, but you know, you want to take, Willem Belli's tucking panties and put them on display.
Yes, exactly. Some nasty shit like that.
I would pay to go to a museum that had tucking panties on display. I'd be like,
what are tucking panties?
Just, you know, the underwear that really pushes your nuts
really just
in.
Pushes everything.
Yeah,
together.
Makes your pee-pee disappear.
Okay.
Our dog Jesse loves to sniff drag queen crotches because they're
usually ripe. You know.
Well, you know, it's like if you don't got oxygen, mm-hmm. air breathing down there, mm-hmm. it's going to be some funky smells. That's what I'm saying, you know.
Right. That's why I stopped wearing all those tights and padding and underwear.
So in some ways, like for drag for you, feel, you know, because I listen to like rappers sometimes, they're artists who are, you know, struggling to make it. Then they say, I don't know what else to do with myself. If I can't be an actor, or a musician, a dancer, a drag queen, I can't exist. Do you feel that that's where you are right now?
Yes, that's entirely how I feel about it.
Is that a healthy place to be? I mean, no disrespect to your passion.
Maybe not, but
you're like, what the fuck?
Right.
And that's part of like what I really attracted about you is like, you know, in some ways you struggle, but you also have a really playful, happy relationship to your intense devotion to the things you're interested in.
Ooh.
You know? And it's certainly, you know, this week it's been really intense in terms of like drag queen news and and just Girl. Like and cults in general. with For you know, real. Wild Wild Country is
we're still obsessed with it. We just did a podcast about it the other day, and we're still obsessed with it. You haven't seen it yet.
No,
oh, I think you'll like it.
Yeah,
because it raises so many questions, and you watch this and you see it from so many different points of view, and you're kind of like you still don't necessarily know what to think of it.
Huh. And anyone who's been to DragCon or, you know, sometimes you're surrounded by, when you go to DragCon, sometimes you're surrounded by thousands of people who are, like, waiting in line the entire day to meet one drag queen.
Right.
And you're just kind of like, oh, this person's really lost their marbles, you know?
But that's fandom, though.
And cult and fandom have, you know, are two branches of the same tree, right? We take something to a dysfunctional level,
right.
It becomes a cult, you know? And certainly, I'm not saying Drag Race is there right now, but to some people, it does have an unhealthy relationship, just like anything. You know, we did a show called I Love My Divas, Why Don't I Have Any Friends?
Oh, yeah.
And it's about a gentleman. He was a guest on our show, and he had a
rest in peace.
He passed away.
He eventually passed away, yeah. But we had him on because he was a psychologist, and we were talking about that phenomenon where, like, you know, gay men specifically, usually, like, they're like, oh my God, I just love Madonna, or I love Britney Spears, but then there's, like, they
Beyonce.
Have no Beyonce, or all of these things. Like, they put so much love and affection towards these divas, but yet their personal life is, like, they don't have a boyfriend. You know, they might have problems making friendships. And so when we invited him on to talk about this, we didn't realize that he was actually a fan of opera. So the original divas.
And he had a somewhat difficult time bridging the transition of his passion for his entertainment consumption, his, you know, hobbies and passions with his social engagements. His friend couldn't understand, why were you so into opera? Like the way you are. Mm. And do you feel like, you know, sometimes your friends are going, why are you so into drag?
Oh, totally. Like, every week, I've got somebody, my mother, or one of my friends.
You have two mothers.
Mm-hmm, one of my mamas. Well, I guess three, because my dad also remarried. So,
God, how many mothers do you need?
A lot of people nagging at you.
What if your mom's divorced and they each got married to a new woman?
Oh, girl.
Oh, my God. You have how many moms then?
An ocean of women. All telling you to make your bed.
Hey, quit. Yeah. Why are you so into drag queens?
So, yeah, they'll be like, girl, like, can we watch something that's not drag queens? Like, can we watch anything else?
Well, don't turn on Jeopardy, because now you've got RuPaul on Jeopardy.
Exactly.
What was going on? So, you know, you're a big fan of Jeopardy, Mark. You've actually auditioned more to be on Jeopardy than you've been on auditioning for Drag Race.
That's true. Because I've auditioned for Jeopardy a couple of times.
Did you get on?
I took the test. No, I have never gotten on. Yet.
Bitches.
You know,
it's a hard test to take.
It's a hard test to take, and I think you have to do really, really well.
But maybe this time you'll do better on it because they've sort of lowered the bar when it comes to drag.
So they had RuPaul on, and she was doing, like, it was called a review, right? And so it made it seem like she said the thing, and there was movies that she was in.
It made it seem
like
that.
The way they phrased it. And I was just like, oh, wow. So we're going to talk about the Brady Bunch movie? They're probably not going to bring up Star Booty. You know, or even like, what was the other one when she played Rachel Tensions?
The name of the title character who says, my name's Cupcake, what's yours? What is Star Booty?
But the category was, like, movies that feature drag. So it was something like The Birdcage, Some Like It Hot.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
So those were all the questions.
But they didn't bring up Tu Wong Fu.
No.
Really?
They didn't bring up Priscilla Queen of the Desert.
There was probably...
Girl.
I'm guessing that Jeopardy is owned by Viacom, right? Is my guess.
Yeah, okay, I could
so
see
maybe
that,
that's
yeah.
why there's that cross promotion because Alec Trebekci is going to be on Drag Race, and we think maybe for Snatch Game.
Yeah, maybe as one of those like guest people they have.
I would imagine. Like, what else would they have him do?
Well, Alex Trebek. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention. He's been putting on pink fingernail polish and a little bit of rouge, and now he fancies himself an expert on drag queens.
Oh. You know, Alex has been doing that show for how many years now?
It seems a lot,
like 30 some years, right?
Rue, I just want you to know that I'm wearing pink panties right now.
And I don't know, last season Kristen Chenoweth was like on the Snatch Game panel, so maybe he'll do that.
That's going to be so weird. I like that Drag Race is getting weirder.
Right.
The more mainstream it gets and not necessarily like... You know, more blander. You know what I'm saying? Like
it should be watered down or something.
Yeah,
like, that,
like having Alex Trebek being into cross dressers is kind of really great.
Well, you know, and I think that it's a testament to RuPaul and the success of that show and her winning the Emmys that people are just kind of like, once you get those awards, people start paying attention to you more. Yep. It's like when we first got our first podcast award, boy, did people pay attention to us, especially other podcasters that were like, God damn it, they got that award and I didn't.
Maybe one day RuPaul can win the Feast of Fun Award, because that's actually named after us.
That's true.
Fun, really?
Let's all nominate her, let's all nominate her to win that podcast. So we
my God.
Yeah, so she can win the Feast of Fun award. LGBT Best Podcast Award.
She would.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Have a heart attack.
That would be so good.
When does the voting start for that?
Podcastawards.com. You can find out and nominate. What's the tea with RuPaul for the Feast of Fun Award?
Well, it's just fair because we did win an award for Best Podcast from World of Wonder. So Turnabout's fair play, right?
I think so. Mm-hmm. You know, and we ate that can of soup and it was delicious.
Was there actually soup inside?
Yeah, it was chicken noodle.
Oh, wow.
Campbell's.
Yeah, we emptied it out because we were like, well...
And this economy, honey, we had to eat the soup. You know, we were hungry girls. You had dinner just before we taped the show.
Yes. Ooh, how'd you like it? That was so good. Oh,
what did we eat? Tell the audience about it.
We had a really big salad.
Mm-hmm. It was healthy.
Very healthy, which is very foreign to me.
You eat salads?
Not very often. So it was an experience, but I really liked it.
You need the micronutrients. You need the nutrients from salad. But also what's really important is that it's high in fiber. And fiber,
so I'll poop good.
You'll poop good. But the important part about fiber is it's not only does it like clean your colon out, but... the fiber is where the good bacteria live. It needs to live. And the good bacteria is responsible for a lot of
your happiness.
Your happiness and your health. And
they say
it helps you produce serotonin and stuff. Huh. Yeah.
You can't be happy if you don't have happy bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Like your brain's mood is set by the bacteria in your stomach. In fact, you're not even who you are. You're being controlled like a zombie by the bacteria that live in the stomach.
And did you know that only 1/3 of your poop is actually the food that you ate?
What?
The rest of the 2/3 of your poop is bacteria and skin cells from the lining of your intestines, yes.
And Divine ate that shit?
Yes, she sure did.
Fuck.
Mm-hmm. Well, you did that too.
Well, not poop. It was a Slurpee.
But it was where dogs poop.
Okay, fair.
So, for folks who don't know this, Kevi kind of made an internet sensation where she did a video called Food Horny. And you had a song, and you, I guess somebody spilled their Slurpee in the song, and you slap it up just like Divine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you clean the sidewalk for that? You didn't do anything for that.
Just walked over to Halsted and Roscoe's, spilled my Slurpee on the sidewalk. Went down on it.
Meanwhile, all the bar owners are going, huh? Call the police.
Right. Yes.
And that's why we fell in love with you.
Yay.
Food horny.
Well, and so, you know, there's so much happening right now in drag news, and I know you have a lot to say about it. Let's get started in talking about you're very passionate about the Vixen and her appearance on Drag Race this season, because she's sort of raising a lot of difficult questions about the portrayal of drag queens of color on the show.
Yes, I am fiercely, vehemently Team Vixen. I think she is doing so much good and like with her platform. And I'm currently in a class in grad school about black feminism, and I think she's a really good representation of a black feminist.
And what is a black, what is it, the message that she's saying here, or like what is the idea that she's representing?
Well, black feminism is, it centers the experiences of black women, but it's not exclusive to black women, so it's very intersectional. And just about recognizing the multiplicity of experiences and just challenging but you know, but
use your words, Shelby.
Yes.
No, well, you feel like you're very passionate about it, but it's sometimes hard to talk about it.
Right. But like,
yeah.
Like one thing that I think is so important that she did was her show Black Girl Magic here in mm-hmm. Chicago.
And what was that for people who didn't get to see it?
Well, it originated because people during Pride in 2016 were using the slur Southside Trash to refer to black people at Pride.
That was like one guy on Facebook, wasn't it? I feel like she was taking down one guy. But, you know.
Well, anyway.
Well, people but it usually is a sentiment dismiss. That was shared
with somebody else.
People don't like sharing their gay neighborhood of Lakeview with people from the suburbs of Chicago, and especially from areas that they consider to be, well, the word they would describe it as trashy. Mm. And so a lot of the people.
But they mean black and of color.
Yeah. Right. And so there's a lot of tension during Pride because people come in from all parts of the region in the Midwest to celebrate LGBT people and LGBT culture. Yeah. And it's not always a happy celebration for some people.
And we've said this for years on the podcast. There's a lot of people that live in Boys Town that are from small towns throughout like the Midwest for the most part. They come here with small town ideas and they're not used to like living in a big city and knowing that this is a shared space.
Right. And this is a difficult situation for an artist who's trying to get gigs. And I think, you know, like people ask me, cause we've had negative experiences with Vixen, and I feel that, and she said this to me, that she intentionally sometimes picks a fight to get some attention. Mm-hmm. So on the podcast we did with Yuhua, I compared the Vixen to sort of the boy that cried wolf. The wolf is racism, and the racism is real, but she also draws attention to herself on multiple levels and picks fights with all kinds of people just because she understands that this is a process for her as an African-American entertainer to draw attention to herself. And at the same time, racism is real and the wolf sometimes shows up, and we need to believe the Vixen. And for those of us who have been felt that she was unkind to us or rude to us, we need to forgive her, because the bigger issue here is racial inequality, and we need to work together to fight that.
Yeah. I feel like all of the fights that she's picked, were valid, and most of the time she wasn't picking them. It was she was responding and retaliating.
You're talking on Drag Race,
Drag Race, and social media. Yeah, just
sure.
But yeah, so like with the Southside Trash thing, she took that slur, reclaimed it, made it into this big like social political activist movement. And it became Black Girl Magic, which is a show celebrating black entertainers, which was revolutionary for our scene.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. And that was, you know, part of our interest in Vixen was showcasing her talent. Because when we saw her perform, we're like, this person's very talented. She's young. Who is she? Let's figure this out.
She's a dynamic performer who is not getting booked. Mm-hmm. A lot of the drag queens were not warming up to her. And people just kind of generally were putting her on the margins. Mm. And I was like, this is somebody that deserves attention and is really intelligent and actually has a lot of valid points to bring up. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's like, you know, and this is the complexity of the situation, because it's not just like if Vixen was just like very I think the path that Vixen has taken is really complicated, and much more complicated than we realize, because she's sacrificing her ability to get gigs as a Drag Race girl, as a Rue girl, in the bigger picture to fight social injustice and to fight discrimination, bigotry, and racism. And I think that's actually something really noble to do, because she's also been somebody who has been more than, you know, her catchphrase was, I'm here to fight. She's more than eager to get into a smackdown, a fight with someone, even when it's probably in her best interest to just move past it.
But she might not think it's in her best interest, because, you know, when you look at rappers, right, and that's who a lot of these young kids, they look up to, they're always doing these diss raps. They're always, like, you know, throwing shade at somebody. And so that's just part of that kind of culture, right, is to kind of pick a fight or tell somebody that they're a piece of shit, right?
Right. And, I mean, she is getting gigs. But also, I think she is doing so much important work with her platform. I'd argue maybe more than any other previous Rue Girl has.
More than Tyra Sanchez?
Just because...
Although Tyra feels like she's very much in the same vein as Vixen right now.
I mean, I do see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, like, with the Vixen, though, every week she is promoting different charities for, like, queer youth and things like that, trying to help our community.
Mm.
So... And she did that whole post about, like, using PrEP and safe sex practices. And so I feel like she's doing so much good,
mm-hmm.
but she keeps getting hit with the controlling narrative of the angry black woman.
Well, she is angry.
She is black.
And she is black.
And she dresses like a woman.
And she dresses like a woman. So there is that. But, you know, people keep talking about, like, tone policing. Like, and listen, she has her own unique experience. It's an experience I will never have, you know? And so part of me is, like, I'm super proud of her for sticking up and fighting, even though sometimes I think maybe you don't necessarily have to go to a 10 or something like that. But she also knows is she's there. She has to make a splash. She has to get people to notice, whether that's a good notice or a bad notice. That playing nice wasn't going to get her on that show. Never would have. You know what? There are this 1,000 queens out there that are nice, and they're not on that show.
And, you know, I understand what it's like to be scapegoated and blacklisted mm-hmm. As an entertainer, as a media personality, and for speaking my mind and for raising awareness to injustice. Mm-hmm. So I know the heat she's facing and right. going to face. Mm-hmm. And so I understand the sacrifice that she's making, and I think that's actually really bold. And so people are coming up to me and wanting to be like, join the bandwagon. It's like, Vixen should be a nice girl on the stuff. And I was like, ugh. You know, I think in this case, I know she's hurt you, or you felt like she was unkind or rude to you or unfair to you. And I certainly know that she's been unkind and unfair to us, but I forgive her. And even though she's not asking for my forgiveness, I still give it to her. And
well, forgiveness is about you being like, this does not hurt me anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't. You know? It doesn't affect me in any way.
No.
I'm disappointed that Vixen rather have a relationship with people she accuses of being hurtful to her
mm-hmm.
in the past, and not with us. But that's not she's. That's her destiny and her path to take. And if she doesn't want to be around me, that's fine. You know, I'm not a cult leader. If you don't want to hang out with me, I'm not going to go out and, you know, poison your salad bar.
But, yeah, just with the angry black woman image, though, like, it's so frustrating that she's doing so much good work, yet, like, so much of the Drag Race fan base mm-hmm. only sees her as this one mm-hmm. image of the angry black woman
sure.
rather than seeing and respecting all of the work
this
she
is
does.
A difficult conversation, especially for people who watch a lot of television to have, because
mm-hmm.
television yeah. usually doesn't bring these kind of things up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
so much props to her for bringing this
and
up.
And props to the producers of Drag Race who could have edited this out or mm-hmm. or pushed the show in a different direction or cast somebody differently. You know, they've mm-hmm. made a conscious decision to sort of bring up these difficult mm-hmm. and painful issues on the show. In the light right now of Tyra Sanchez not handling that very well with her conflict
yeah.
with them, right?
Right?
And it's like, you know, there is an extreme to take, you know, and I think threatening harm and violence to others is the line that Tyra's has crossed.
Yeah, because Tyra was just recently saying on Facebook something like, I'm warning you guys, do not go to DragCon on, what was it, May 12th?
Yeah, the Saturday.
Saturday, May 12th. And it's like, people are, what? And she posted some photos, and one of the
right,
photos...
there was an illustration of... A bomb going off at the convention
yeah,
the center. Last,
yeah, and then there's a bunch of people with signs outside saying, if you do it, it's comedy. Hashtag Black Queens Matter. I will not be silenced. The double standard is real. And so basically they're saying as a black queen, she's held to some kind of impossible standard. So if she says something, like, people just take it way too seriously. But if you're a white queen, then it's just like, oh, it's just a joke when they say it.
Right.
But
and
when
like,
the angry black queen says it...
Right, and I was totally in her court for mm-hmm. a very long time because I get that she gets hundreds of hateful messages every day,
mm-hmm.
and that's gotta wear you thin and just get you pissed off, and so of course she's gonna say shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I understand that.
I don't know. I've dealt with the wrath of the RuPaul's Drag Race scene crowd, and it's like, they don't scare me. Go suck an egg.
But
yeah,
now she's crossed a line into straight up terrorism.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't go that as far as saying that, but Sasha Soprano wrote, so is it okay to go on the 13th? I just want to mark my calendar.
If there's anything left, you know,
this is a difficult situation for World of Wonder and for Tyra Sanchez. And it's like, I don't know how, you know, we've been in situations where past guests of the show or other people have, asked harm on us or other people, and fortunately we've not been able to just delete and block them, and that's the end of it. But you know, with this situation, it's like Drag Race, World of Wonder, and Tyra Sanchez have a very big platform, and they're at odds against each other. And I think you know, if World of Wonder had a human relations department, I don't know if they do, but Tyra Sanchez technically is somewhat of an employee of theirs, and they should be having this discussion off the internet and face to face in person.
But unfortunately, have somebody there working with her and making sure like her needs are met. But they also might be just have thrown in the towel and be like, she's who she is, and that's what
the
can
end
we
of
do.
It.
And that's part of it is like, you know, it's let Tyra be Tyra. And it's like, are we holding her to a higher standard or a double standard like she feels? Like, you know, Look at Robbie Turner, who just killed off an Uber driver.
You think it couldn't get any worse. It's like, oh, my God, how crazy is Tyra, blah, blah, blah. And Robbie Turner's like, hold my beer, baby. I'm going to show you how to escalate that to 100.
So for people that don't know who Robbie Turner is, he was on which season of Drag Race?
Season 8.
Okay, so he was on season 8. He's also involved in, I think, Capitol Hill, which is a web series, which I think a lot of people like to watch. I've seen a few episodes, and it's pretty good. He was a Seattle queen, and he did an Instagram update saying, like, oh, I just woke up. I'm not sure how I feel. Last night I was involved in a car accident, and my Uber driver died. And people are like, you know, a lot of gay, you know, supposed journalists reported on it as though it were fact. But then The Stranger, which is the local paper in Seattle, looked into it. And we're like, well, there's no police record. We called Uber. Uber's like, we don't know anything about it. But we do know who Robbie Turner is. I guess they had worked together previously on some kind of project.
Willem Bella on Twitter wrote, Robbie Turner's Uber driver is with all those people that died at Stonewall. Somebody else wrote, Daniel Amson, when that Uber that awkward moment when the Uber driver that Robbie Turner killed off picks her up again.
And so people are kind of like, what the fuck is going on here?
Right, but... like,
so as a consequence, Robbie Turner has left her position...
at one of the bars,
at one of the bars that she performs
and
at.
And they wish her well and hope that she's, like, you know, speedy recovery. But the part of me is, like, it's weird as fuck, but it also might be very telling of some kind of disorder.
Mental illness.
There might have been something. It could have been, you know, who knows? It could be a stroke. It could be, who knows?
Right. Well, it's fun to laugh at because, I mean, it was pretty funny.
It's pretty outrageous.
It's also, like, I also feel really bad for her. I feel like it's probably, like, systemic of some sort of mental struggle she's going through.
Laganja Stranja wrote, to those making fun of Robbie Turner, please stop.
Right.
Regardless of whether she's a liar or not, she's human. Instead of making jokes, let's offer help. Mm-hmm. It truly disturbs me to see so many of my sisters making fun. Those cheap laughs scar.
Mm. Well, how many Uber drivers has Laganja killed?
None. Ben de la Creme wrote, I should have said something days ago. When one person's dishonesty may be disappointed, I'm more disappointed in how many people are willing to kick that person while they're down. How do you hope people will treat you when you're at your worst? Cultivate #cultivate empathy.
Very true.
But, you know, Bianca Del Rio.
What a cheese.
Getting caught in a lie about your Uber driver dying and you surviving. Quotations. I didn't realize this was happening today.
Yeah, is her that a entrance reference? Line. That was her entrance line on season 8.
Yeah. No. And, you know, this is, listen, you know, the LGBT people struggle a bit a lot in our world that we live in. And when you do a show like we do, or mm-hmm. they do, that brings a lot of artists and people on the fringes of society into the forefront, you're going to be dealing with some broken spirits. And it's really, really tough for the producers of that show, for the people who participate on that show, to navigate. And, you know, my heart goes out to everybody involved, and just a little kindness, mm-hmm. you know. But at the same time, it is really outrageous to the point of making you spit your drink out. And it is sometimes you have to laugh. You know, drag queens are known for taking painful circumstances and making jokes about it, because right. otherwise we're going to be crying and remembering about how our own pain and suffering. And maybe they're not necessarily trying to laugh at Robbie Turner. They're just sharing in their frustration of what to do in that circumstances. Mm-hmm. And the same goes for Tyra Sanchez. You know, and it's like Allison Mack, who played Chloe on TV Smallville, the show that cemented CW mm-hmm. as a super network, super channel.
Mm-hmm.
She's been caught in a huge scandal with a cult. Mm-hmm. She's been with sex trafficking and the exploitation of women and minors. It's mm-hmm. it's horrifying. Oh,
shit. Yeah, it's called Nexium, and we did talk about this the other day. But there's new developments in it, and the new it's a little bit about Nexium. It was like this guy who used to be like an Amway salesman, and then he developed this program for like corporate training or like get to know yourself kind of thing. And so she was introduced to it by her co-star on Smallville, Kristen Crook. And so she introduced her to that. But Kristen left after a little while. And Kristen said she never witnessed any of this alleged abuse that had happened. But Allison got all caught up in it you know, was sleep deprived, put on a special diet. It was only like 800 calories a day. Allegedly like had gotten other women involved in it. And then they would do like these branding on their genitals of the leaders. And the heiress of the Seagram's fortune. She helped support the cult to like the tune financially, to a tune of like $100 million. So it's amazing how people get sucked into these kinds of things. But she, Allison Max, also recruited Nikki Klein, who was on Battlestar Galactica. And I don't know if you guys remember her. She actually got involved in the cult and asked to leave Battlestar Galactica because she was so getting into this cult.
Really?
And so they killed off her character, you know. And, you know, she was, I think it was it Sarge or something like that? I forget what his name was, but she played the wife of him, and his first wife was gone, but then came back and was a Cylon, so it was like he's trying to deal with his wife, who's come back from the dead, and then he's got this other wife, and so this other wife just ends up getting killed, and so that she could go and live, you know, in the commune. And the thing about, you know, Klein is, you guys might remember her as the daughter of Catherine Oxenberg, who was the princess on Dynasty. The actress.
Not the character.
The actress. She's the of.
And she has in Battlestar Galactica, her character has a child with someone who later turns out to be a Cylon. Is that right?
She's the one who had
the non-hybrid baby.
I was mistaken. Okay. She's not the daughter of Catherine Oxenberg. She's the daughter of Catherine Oxenberg saw the wedding between Klein and Allison Mack. They had a lesbian wedding because she was Canadian and she needed to live in the United States. So she brought her to live. So they did basically like immigration fraud so that she could be part of the cult. But we don't think that they were actually having sex.
Aww.
Or if even was like really love, she just did it so that she could stay in the United States and be part of this weird cult.
I'm kind of glad that, you know, marriage equality now is being used for fraud. I mean, it's part of equality, you know. Right. It's like it's the good and the bad, and mm-hmm. it's like, you know, I mean, Mark and I's lives have been transformed for the better because we've been able to legally marry each other. Mm-hmm. But aww. You know, there's no mistaking that if, you know, there's a loophole to be exploited, somebody's going to take advantage of it.
Mm.
You know, I just feel like this turmoil. It feels like Thanos is ready to invade our planet
with the Infinity Ring.
Infinity War is just around the corner. Yeah,
coming up in days.
In days, Iron Man, Thor, the Hulk, Spider-Man, and the rest of the Avengers bathe in bisexual lighting.
What?
Unite to battle their most powerful enemy yet, evil Thanos. So you're asking me, what exactly is bisexual lighting, and is that a real thing?
Mm-hmm.
So filmmakers are using pink and violet lighting to suggest a character's sexual ambiguity.
Ooh.
BBC most recently wrote about this, but other bloggers have been covering this for a while, that neon blue and violet blue light, I'm sorry, neon pink and violet blue light on screen can suggest a character's bisexuality. It's been used in BBC's TV show Sherlock, in the San Junipero episode of Netflix, famously in the film Moonlight, in the series of The Assassination of Gianni Versace, and now in the Marvel Avengers Infinity War film.
Who's pink in that?
Captain America and Spider-Man.
Really? Are they part of NAMBLA too?
So many are pointing out that these colors mirror those of the bisexual pride flag and may be subtle code into referencing the sexual ambiguity or the bisexuality of the characters.
Mm-hmm. The bisexual flag, is that the same colors as like the trans flag or similar?
No.
Well,
no,
it's close to it, right? So I think the trans flag has white in it.
Yeah, it's white. And then a light pink and a light blue.
Mm.
Actually, according to RuPaul, it's shades of green. But the bisexual flag is blue, purple, and pink.
Yeah. So it's not too dissimilar.
And it's a specific shade of blue that's almost, I would call it like violet blue.
I think it's cock-sucking blue.
So everybody's really excited about the possibility that not only they're going to reveal something about Captain America that might be a little bit unconventional.
They are not going to make him gay.
Thanos is rumored to kill him off because Chris Evans's contract with Marvel expires in this film.
Why do they got to kill off the gays?
Kill your gays.
Honey, because they got to punish them for. And so maybe, for all that, you know.
Rich, delicious cock.
Because he has a very strong affection for Bucky, right? And so.
He does.
And Bucky comes back as a character. Bucky Fucky comes back as a character. So we don't know if this is going to be, you know, real subtle, real. If you blink, you'll miss it kind of thing.
Okay.
But Thanos most likely is going to kill off Captain America in this movie.
Well, it's going to be interesting because we are going to watch it. We're going to talk about it with Brian Sweeney, who's a total comics and Marvel nerd.
He's gay for this.
He's gay for it. So we'll see if he
super
agrees
hardcore.
With if there's a gay subtext or not.
So get your tickets, kittens. I mean, I'm looking forward to it just because I'm a big fan of Chris Evans and he's... You know, he's delightful on the screen. Mm-hmm. Especially, if you just Google Chris Evans with whipped cream, you can see him. Whipped cream's on his pecs, with cherries on his nipples, and on his backside, he has whipped cream on his ass and a banana up his butt.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag not Photoshop. Food horny.
That's right, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you forget it.
So what did you make of Shania Twain on Drag Race last week?
As the judge. I'm surprised that she didn't just like go out and be like, you know, RuPaul, Queens, you guys are all fabulous, but I love Trump. If I were an American citizen, I would vote for Trump because he's honest.
Mm-hmm.
Which everyone is like going, what are you what are you smoking, honey?
Yeah, her judging, I don't know. She felt very awkward up there.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag awkward.
But she also apologized and said like it was taken out of context. It wasn't worded right or that kind of thing.
Yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so part of it is like she's tapping into something, a misconception that a lot of American voters, the people who support Trump have, is this idea that somehow they did a study and they asked them, do you agree with Trump's positions on things like global warming or that transgender people are destroying the military and so on and so forth?
Guilty.
And a lot of Trump supporters actually don't agree with him, but they describe him as honest because of the fact that he's talking about these things in a very brash and rude way and not in a very calculated way.
Because he's not a politician. And so therefore he's somehow more trusted.
And I think that's something we need to be conscious about and actually like, you know, talk about in this next upcoming election, because this is going to be something that is going to come back and bite us in the ass.
Well, the weird thing is, too, is like, you know, the New York Times just did an article and they did some kind of survey and they looked at like the reasons why people voted for Trump. And a lot of people thought like, oh, it's the economy, that kind of thing. But what it turns out, it's not really the economy. It's white people who are afraid they're going to lose their role in this society, that somehow they are being punished and not getting the rewards that a Muslim, an African-American, an Asian person is getting. And so they see their stature falling and they feel like if we vote for Trump, he'll lift us up again. Instead of like maybe so just like being happy with what you have and maybe working harder, you know.
Man, I feel like an asshole. Parking in the handicapped spot. Don't tip when I go to a fancy restaurant. Man, I feel like an asshole. Jackie Beat, get to work.
tell everybody about the drag show you saw where somebody lip synced that.
Oh, so we were in the mountains of Woodbury, Tennessee, which is about an hour and a half northeast of Nashville. And that's where the Radical Fairies commune is. Ooh. It's really fun. If you ever get a chance to go, you should go. And there was one of my favorite drag queens, her name was Woodbury Roseanne, who, like a lot of drag queens, has multiple names. So she also does a character called April May June, who's her social worker. Huh. And she has a character that's her fantasy self called Monique Bubbles. But she doesn't know how to spell it, so she writes M Blubs.
Oh my gosh, M Blubs. That's so cute.
That's a great drag name. I think about I might trade Daphne in for M Blubs.
Well, that's somebody else's
Come
name.
Come on,
M Blubs. It's bad luck to steal a drag name.
Her name is Monique Bubbles, but when she writes it, it looks like M Blubs. That is not stealing it.
So
I think that's fair.
So she was performing, I Feel Like a Woman, Shania Twain, and the boombox that was playing it. That it was really softly. And so someone's like screaming, turn it up, turn it up. And so she starts exaggerating her lip sync in her mouth as if she could turn up the volume.
Whoops.
And she's a really extraordinary person and a really unique person to that region. And, you know, I don't know what's going on with her. I heard from some people that she's still doing drag to this day. So
Yay. If
you ever get a chance to check out Monique Bubbles, go see her show.
April, May, June.
Or
Woodbury Roseanne.
Woodbury Roseanne. Everybody knows there's Woodbury Roseanne, but, you know. The 2020 census, although it's not counting LGBT people,
bitches,
it's going to be counting same-sex couples for the first time.
Wow. Huh.
So that's kind of interesting. Mike Pence wants to know where we are so he can kill us.
Shit. Ew, he's so gross.
So they're actually in the questions on the forum, they're asking you if you're married and if you're or just living together, and if you're married to a person of the same gender as you are or not. So that's interesting how that's going to affect.
Is it gender or sex?
Both. Well, sexual identity, I guess. Okay. Gender identity.
Okay. So,
you know, whether you guys both identify as the same gender or not.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's the legality of that question, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So it says,
I always get confused because some forms like sex and other people like it's gender, right? It's preferred to be gender, right?
Great. So I have the answer if you want to hear it here. Previously, the census gathered data about coupled households with two options, husband or wife or unmarried partner. Now people will be able to check opposite sex husband wife spouse, same sex husband wife spouse, opposite unmarried partner, or same sex unmarried partner.
Oh,
that's gonna be people are gonna be what in Alabama?
I think it's pretty clear,
but that's gonna definitely raise some eyebrows. So I'm looking forward to seeing the results of that census for sure.
And when you get it, like 5 years later.
You know, it's actually a good job for some people. Like, it's a part-time job. Mm-hmm. You can sign up to be a census taker. Oh, all you go is around knocking doors in the neighborhood.
Like,
like they did on SNL that one time.
Yeah.
I don't remember that skit, but I believe you.
It was with Betty White.
Oh, and she was a census taker?
No, she was the person getting it taken. It was funny.
Mm. Did you see Melania not want to hold Donald Trump's hand when they met with the president of France?
Well, who would want to hold his hand?
I know. He's like with his little pinky, like scratching at her door. And she's just kind of like, and then eventually she's just like, oh, all right, I'll do it because the fucking cameras are on.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Melania Trump seldom has a smile in public, but she certainly was giggling like a schoolgirl next to Obama at Barbara Bush's funeral.
She's like, I can't wait till I'm a widow.
Right?
She's like, would somebody please assassinate this fucker,
yeah, we can't wait either.
But, you know, she probably can't leave him because she probably signed some kind of weird, you know, like, prenup.
Yeah.
Or she's some, like, you know, Red Sparrow from Russia there to infiltrate.
Ooh. Like that movie.
I am Red Sparrow.
She might have been, you know, because they probably send a bunch of these Russian, you know, Eastern European models here and be like, you marry American millionaires so we can take over.
My pussy is powerful. Man, I feel like a woman. Shania Twain, you know, it's weird that with Shania Twain, though, like rushing to apologize for it, and you know, like Lady Bunny's on social media just kind of defending her. It's like, we shouldn't be accepting. Lady Bunny's coming on the podcast this week to talk about her trips to India and defending Shania Twain.
Like, first of all, she's a Canadian, so who the fuck cares? But you guys are making like the big deal out of this, but are you making a big deal out of like bombing Syria? Are you making a big deal about universal health care? You know, focus on the big things. Why are you picking on these celebrities?
Yeah. Is it, you know, how do we measure when we're making a big deal out of things or not?
Yeah. That's well, the Lady Bunny's there to tell you whether you're making a big deal out of
it. So she doesn't feel that we're making as big of a deal.
I told her not to make such a big deal out of her hair, and she looked at me like I was crazy. So Disney erected a giant Woody at Hollywood Studios. You know,
Woody Woodpecker?
No, Woody from the Toy Story.
Girl. Oh.
So they have a giant Woody outside of their Hollywood Studios.
Oh,
so
that's hot. Like,
look at that big giant Woody.
Aww. Tom Hanks shall live forever as Woody. The Toy Story movies are like so important in terms of technology.
Yeah.
In CGI animation. Yeah, because they were like light years ahead. It's groundbreaking films for that. Because they were commercially successful CGI films, and where the audiences kind of accepted the look of that CGI animation for the first time for a major motion picture.
Mm.
And before that, they were sort of used in scenes in different places and not, you know, taking the entire film encapsulated into that magical world.
Right. Pixar changed the game in animation.
And so it's nice to see now Pixar sort of going in that direction where they're actually having human characters like Moana or, you know, Frozen, and showing us how they can sort of keep that animated look and at the same time harvest all the benefits of animating a film through computers.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, sending it to Korea and having it like The Simpsons or Simpsons are still done. A lot of those things are done by hand.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I actually have a friend who works as an animator for The Simpsons.
Oh, fun.
But I won't say her name because I don't want to get her fired. But
like, your friend's with Fausto, you're out of here.
Well, it's just, you know.
Did you ever ask her if that character named Fausto was named after you?
I did ask her about that. And she said, she just kind of giggled and said, maybe.
They were just looking for a weird name.
She said it was an interesting name. They were looking for an interesting name. She had nothing to do with it. But when she saw it, she smiled and thought about me.
When was that?
Years ago. There was a character named Fausto who was a Brazilian sailor who drowned at sea in an episode of The Simpsons based on that film where Matt Damon drowns at sea in that film.
Was that the Perfect Storm?
Perfect Storm, exactly. And so, you know, Homer Simpson is a sailor, gets a job as a sailor, and he's one of his shipmates is a Brazilian sailor named Fausto. And so you have Lenny going, I was just thinking about somebody with a name Fausto. And I was like, whoa. When I was watching that, I was like, they're talking to me.
They were.
Oh, my God. And so I called my friend and I said, was that a reference to me? Were you guys? And she's like, maybe.
Word.
But you can't say anything. So it's not official.
I'm not part of the canon for yet. Real.
Aww.
For real.
Maybe if you become real famous, they'll have you on. Like maybe if we don't get there.
I'll get on Drag Race.
Or Lady Gaga.
I'm going to win Drag Race season 11, 12, 13. One of them seasons.
Mm.
And then you know they're going to put some queen just to piss me off on that show.
Ooh, who will it be?
I don't know. Maybe
it could be anybody.
Maybe it
could
be you. But you and I would be.
It could be anybody.
Oh, Kevy, it's always nice to hang out with you.
You too, you guys.
You still do a show called House of Travesties.
Yeah, we're on a bit of a break right now, but hopefully this summer we'll get back into it.
And for those
travesties
of us,
is like kind of like cross between transvestite and travesty. Is that right? Or is it just travesty?
Just travesty.
Okay.
But
she likes it because the initials hot.
Oh.
Well, lots of reasons. I love the word travesty. It's actually in South America the word they use for trans people.
Transvesti.
Yeah, travesty.
Travesti? No, it's transvesti.
Okay.
It's slightly different.
Yeah. Okay.
It sounds a lot like travesty.
Yeah, and then, I love the word travesty, and I was like, I'm going to be the House of Travesties.
Reclaim it, girl.
Call my fans that.
The travestites?
Travesties.
The travesties.
And okay. I'm the queen, her royal travesty.
If you're nasty.
Yes, you are, girl.
And for those that are going to DragCon, wear some Kevlar, honey.
See you there.
See you there. That's going to fuck.
I guess Friday night, the preview's safe, and then Sunday is probably safe, too, but that Saturday...
Yeah, just you stay know. Home that day.
That's
maybe
a lawsuit
up,
way to
maybe
happen.
They'll just set up like a boxing ring and have Tyra come and just box the fuck out of whoever shows up. Wouldn't that be fun? Trying to pull an Andy Kaufman.
I don't want any more violence, you know. I think it's going to be tough, you know, because it's like they're probably going to lose money because of this. You know, people are going to stay home just because they're
don't
want...
Do you think they could sue her?
They actually could, yeah, absolutely.
Probably.
Yeah, and she ain't got two nickels. And they know she ain't got two nickels to rub together, you know? So it's like, that's going to be rough.
I just want her to be happy, and I want people to live in peace, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want people to give her less shit about things.
Yeah. Like, whenever you see some shit going down like this, just look for the people who are helping. There's always somebody helping.
And where'd you learn that from, Fausta?
Mr. Rogers.
Aww. There's always somebody there helping.
Even when the things are going, when the shit is hitting the fan. Mr. Rogers says, like, you know, he was a little bit drunk. He's like, God made you and God didn't make no shit.
And the people who help this podcast are the people who have subscribed to our Plus channel. You can go to feastoffun.com/plus and become a subscriber today and support this unique, one-of-a-kind programming.
You can subscribe to them, y'all.
Do. Also, we have t-shirts for sale at our store, feastoffun.com/store.
Where you can get so many great quotes from our podcast on a shirt just for you to wear, honey. Because not shaving gives me more time for misbehaving.
That's true, hunty.
And I'm not an evil queen. I just got a bad edit.
Word.
Kevy Vida, say Kevy.
House
of mother of House of Travesties. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me back.
Anytime, baby.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.